Okay, this is case number 1180222, and this is a towing appeal, and the appellant is Andy Mahindru. And am I pronouncing your name correctly?
Yes, please.
Okay, Mr. Mahindru. And please state your name, city representative, and spell it for the record.
Sure. My name is Christopher Aaron Pauly. It's C-H-R-I-S-T-O-P-H-E-R.
And could you please bring the microphone a little bit closer
sure.
to you?
A-E-R-O-N-P-O-L-L-Y. I am a lead parking enforcement officer for the city of Portland.
Thank you. Okay. So thank you very much. I apologize for the delay. We had to schedule this hearing as quickly as possible because we do have some requirements that city code mandates that we schedule this hearing sooner than later because it looks like the vehicle is still in storage. Is that correct, Mr. Mahindru?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, which means I will be making a decision today. Before we get into the details about why the vehicle should have been towed or why it should not have been towed, I want to give you guys a map of what we're doing today. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to briefly tell you about what my role is and what rules I'm going to apply and how I'm going to make my decision. The second thing is I'm going to ask you, Mr. Mahindru, a few questions, and they will just be basic questions so that I can verify your information and uh-huh. that you're ready to proceed. We will briefly talk about what evidence I'm going to consider before I make my decision, and then I will have each side present their case. I'm going to start with the parking enforcement officer when we get to that point, because it's the city's burden to demonstrate that they have followed the correct laws and any applicable rules when the order to tow your vehicle was made. So they're going to give me all the evidence, any testimony under oath. And then when Mr. Pauly, is that your last name?
Correct.
Is it hyphenated?
Nope.
Okay. When Mr. Pauly is done testifying, I will give you, Mr. Mahindru, some time to ask a few questions. And these questions have to be specific to the tow of the car. We'll call that cross-examination. That's what they formally call it, but we're more informal here. And it's okay if you don't have any questions, but you will have the chance to ask questions if you have it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we will turn to your presentation of your testimony. And once you're done with that, Mr. Pauly will have the chance to ask you questions. I can ask questions at any time that I feel are necessary to help me make a decision. And what I'm going to be deciding today is whether or not the tow of your car, Mr. Mahindru, whether that was valid or invalid. Those are the only two options I have. I do not work for parking enforcement, and so I do not have a personal stake in this case. But I do want to make sure I do a correct job, and I figure out whether or not the city code and any relevant state laws were applied correctly. So one of the rules that a hearings officer in a tow case has to follow, and let me know if I'm going too fast. Am I going
no,
too fast?
Okay. Fine.
So there's this rule that says in a tow case, a hearings officer will find a tow is valid when the parking officer or police officer that towed the vehicle, when they followed the correct laws and rules. So that's like an if-then statement. If the parking officer followed the correct laws and rules, then the hearings officer will find the tow is valid. Essentially, that boils down to me not having any discretion.
I understand.
Okay? So I know that one thing that you raised, Mr. Mahindru, in your documents is you provided some character references, and you talked about your financial circumstances. I want you to know right now that I looked at those documents, but the law in Portland City Code says I cannot invalidate a tow based upon financial hardship. So as far as your financial hardship goes, I understand that the tow is a large sum of money, but anything you tell me about your financial situation, I cannot consider when I think about whether or not the tow is valid, okay?
Got
so
it.
I want that to help you, guide you as far as what relevant testimony is going to be. The second thing is, I'm not here to question your character. It sounds like you have really wonderful people that have written wonderful things about you, and I don't question those things. It sounds like you have a lot of positive things going for you, and I appreciate you submitting those character references into the file, but I can't consider those, okay? Because that wouldn't, I'm not here to judge you on your character. I'm just here to look at the city code and the tow. So I will not be considering those necessarily when making my decision. So I will be delivering a decision after I hear both sides, and I'll talk about whether or not I think the evidence shows whether or not the law was followed. So as far as the standard of evidence goes, these cases are not like criminal cases where one side has to significantly outweigh the other with evidence. Oftentimes tow cases, either, you know, if both sides show up, they can have some arguments or evidence that are kind of equal in weight. The side that is a little bit heavier, even 1% heavier with evidence, will be the side that I have to find in favor of. So the standard of proof is formally called a preponderance of evidence, but I like to think about it as far as ratios. The one side that outweighs the other will be the prevailing party. If there is no specific dispute about facts, for instance, Mr. Mahindru, if you agree your car was parked in the location, but you disagree with how the law was applied, then focus on the law. Okay? You don't need to tell me something that you've already written in a document, but if you want to emphasize something that you think I really need to draw my attention to, please do so, because today's the best time for you to tell me the specific reasons why you believe the tow is either valid or invalid. Okay, so let's move on, Mr. Mahindru. I've got to verify some of the information that we have for you is correct. So when you went to the window and you picked up a packet, you have that in front of you, great. Look at the first, second page of that packet. Nope. I'm sorry, that would be the fourth page. Look at we'll count the first page as one. Yep, you got it there. That piece of paper you're showing me. Look at the lower left-hand corner. Uh-huh. Lower left-hand corner. Do you see your address?
On this page, first page or this page?
The page that you just pointed to.
This one?
Yep.
Okay, and I look at the bottom, the address is correct?
Yep, the bottom left-hand corner.
Yes, it's the correct address, yeah.
Okay. That's the address I'm going to use to send you my decision, okay?
Very good.
And it's going to reiterate my verbal decision today, but please make sure you look out in your mail, and
very
the
good.
Same decision will be sent to your office, Mr. Pauly. So did we spell your name correctly on that page? If you look at that document, look
yes.
at the top there. Did we spell your name correct?
Yes, you did.
Okay. Now, if you flip that piece of paper over, flip it right over. There you go. On the piece of paper that you have your left hand on,
right.
there's that camera symbol.
Right.
Did you read that document?
Yes, I did.
Okay. The tow hearing statement of rights is important,
yeah.
but a lot of it is something that I've already covered or can cover today. Is there any questions that you have about your rights today?
No, I don't. I actually looked at your website also before I came here, more detailed.
Okay.
Procedure and all that.
Okay, great. Okay. And then the evidence that I will be making my decision based upon will be paperwork that I admit into the record, as well as any verbal statements I hear today, which means that an audio recording of today's hearing is being created. And once we get done with the hearing, my office has the chance to put up a copy of the recording to our website, so that either of you can access it electronically. There are people who tell me that they would like to not have the audio be put up on our website because they're concerned about their internet privacy. For instance, you don't know who might be listening and they could get your address or some personal details that you might not want someone to know. So, Mr. Mahinder, do you have any concerns about the recording being put up on the hearings office website?
No.
Okay. So we'll do that in about 48 business hours. And make sure you please do not tell me anything that would be sensitive, like, you know, that you would not want someone else to hear if they could find your case number. Okay. We're almost to the part where I take testimony, but the question that I have to ask right now is, what documents can I consider when I make a decision? Any document that is relevant, I can look at. Whether or not you agree with the document, disagree, you want to tell me, hey, don't look at the, that really doesn't matter, that's something that you will testify to. But my question to both of you right now, and I'll start with you, Mr. Pauly, is, when you looked at the documents that the other side sent in, did you see anything that I need to exclude or throw out because it's completely irrelevant?
Affirmative, yes, but you've already addressed the character references and stuff.
Okay.
I have no objection to that, but I understand that that's not a relevant piece.
Is there anything else that you noticed? Okay. And Mr. Mahindru, when you looked at what Mr. Pauly sent in,
yes, please.
Did something stick out at you that you think I should throw out because it has nothing to do with why you're here today?
No, before I get to the package which I just got in the room, I have only one question which I got at the window. I don't understand what this yellow thing is.
Okay, that's a good question. That is something that my hearing clerk printed out because that's called a tow desk database.
Tow desk?
Yeah. And my office uses this information to verify when we get your request for a hearing, we look and make sure that the city towed it.
Okay, good.
And as far as this, so this is a computer printout of some information that a third party put into the system.
Okay, good.
As far as my decision making goes, I kind of look at it for the date to see if, you know.
Bookkeeping.
But that's about it. Okay?
Good.
So if I don't really look at it very, I don't put a lot of stock into it. Okay?
Good. So now I'm back to the package which was given to me in this room.
Mm-hmm.
Everything seems to be clear, explanation of back and forth with someone in the permit division at Nicole, and enforcement officer, and bunch of citation, bunch of photos which I did not know. But then when we see the dates received, that doesn't mean anything, right?
The date received.
Date received October 30th.
That would be my office. That means we just got it today.
Right. So it is of no significance, so to speak. The citation date and everything is there. But October 30th date is when you received it, like you received my part of the package.
Right. Yeah. We just stamp everything for when we get it.
That is all. That's the only date was the only thing. I don't have any question or objection to any.
Okay. I think for expediency's sake, I am going to admit all the exhibits 1 through 32, but like I mentioned, because your character has not been called into question, I'm not going to place a lot of stock in those documents as far as the ones that talk about how great of a person you are. So.
Okay?
All right.
I didn't get a chance to read detail. It's not important, but the emails I didn't get to read, but that's not important. I did have in this, there are some emails, I guess, to the parking permit. But
yeah.
I didn't get the chance to read them, but that's okay. It's not important.
No, I want you to have time to read it if you want to read it. So
yeah, let me just get one.
Yeah,
sample.
Let's just take a few minutes.
Let me get one sample.
We'll pause. Tell me when you're done. Record. Okay, Mr. Mahindra, do you need any more time to read the documents?
No.
Okay. Very good. Are there any questions before I take Mr. Pauly's testimony?
I will ask a question, maybe it is not allowed or appropriate, but maybe I will have to mention that in my testimony, whatever I read here is Mr. Pauly's conversation or email or telephone with the parking permit department, Nicole, a lady by the name Nicole. I don't see here clearly anywhere, and of course I may have missed it, but I was told by Nicole that you just hold on to everything. She will contact the parking enforcement, and somebody from parking enforcement will contact me, and I never received anything from parking enforcement, so to speak.
About the hearing, or?
No. I mean, in this document, there's a history of what was going on back and forth with the permit division and the disabled permit. Now, I didn't see it, honestly, in detail, but when I was talking to Nicole, because I didn't initiate any phone call because of my ill health, I got the call from the parking permit division, Nicole.
Okay.
And Nicole and I talked about whatever we talked about, which I will explain, I guess, if need be, during the testimony. But what I find missing is that Nicole had told me that you just hold on to everything. I have mailed you a valid current disabled person parking permit. You display that, and she will contact the parking enforcement to contact me. I don't have any knowledge or any information of parking enforcement calling me or contacting me.
Okay.
That's all.
Even if you don't have documents showing that, your testimony will be under oath, so
good.
I can consider that.
Good.
And if there's nothing to contradict your testimony,
good.
Then I have no question. I have no reason
good.
To question it. Okay.
Good. So that's the only missing piece.
Okay. Let me ask both of you, do you guys need a few minutes to talk about what's going on here as far as sorting something out, or is that not needed?
No, what would be the purpose of that? He's not in a decision-making authority. So if I talk to him and he agrees or disagrees, or we clarify something, what value would that add?
I don't know what his authority is as far as his specific authority is, so.
No, my question is, you are offering, which is very kind of you, that him and I, if you want to talk, the answer is yes, I would like to talk, but what will be the benefit of us talking to you or to the process?
Well, in these types of appeals, there is always the chance to come up with some sort of agreement to informally settle the case.
Oh, is that how it works?
However, I don't know if Mr. Pauley is in that position, because sometimes people that show up may not be in the position. But I don't need to know whether or not he is in the position. All I need to know is, maybe do you want some
absolutely there's no
time
harm
to talk
it.
It out?
There's no harm in it.
I do not have authority to do anything to the citations that have been written.
Okay.
I could advise.
Right.
That he go to the through the court process, and that through that process he could most likely work out an arrangement.
Okay.
No.
So if he says that he doesn't have any authority to say, basically we're kind of stuck, right? We have limited options. The tow has already happened.
Right.
If he has no authority to say whether or not the city's supporting the tow or not supporting it or something like that, it's already been done. So it doesn't sound like that discussion can or will make my job, will answer the question that I have to ask, will make my job go away. So sometimes in cases, if you guys can work a resolution out, and then my part is reduced, then I don't have to make a decision. However, the vehicle's already been towed here. So unless I were to hear something, for instance, the city's not wanting to move forward with defending their case or putting on evidence, that's sounds like the only position they could take. But that's in their own discretion.
Can I speak?
Yes.
So you used the word, if we can achieve a resolution. Can you please expand or define what do you mean if we reach a resolution?
The only resolution that I can see potentially possible is if, so the city already decided to tow. If the city decides that after hearing what you have to say for some reason, that you've convinced them not to defend their decision to tow. That is the basically the only thing that would informally resolve the case.
What would be the net outcome of it? If we resolve and they agree, what is the best and what is the worst?
Well, they have submitted a bunch of evidence. So I guess ideally the purpose of you talking to the city representative is to give him a last minute plea or argument as to why you think the city should not pursue defending its position. Now, even if Mr. Pauly were to say he's going to just go ahead and let the documents speak for themselves, and if he did not come, I would still be making a decision on anything that you tell me and anything that's already been received. So it's really not going to make a super big difference if Mr. Pauly is here or not here, or if there's a city representative here or not here.
All right. So I want to just clarify a point. Mr. Pauly did address the issue of the citation, and I think whatever I learned from the website, citation is totally a different department, which is the courts. But that I understand that I'm not here for that. That is not the jurisdiction of this room. But the tow part, that the car get released without any charges to me, or I have to come up with $800 for the getting the car out, nobody addressed that up to this point.
Right, and that's why I'm here just to make the decision as to whether
just
or not
the tow part, not
right,
the citation.
Whether or not the tow is valid.
Yeah, but he mentioned the citation part, which is not even
yeah,
on
we're
the
not
agenda,
even talking about
which
that
is not
at
on
all.
The agenda.
Right.
Okay. Good.
Okay.
So, is there any point in talking to him about the tow part?
If you think that you can narrow down what we're here to talk about today. I can't tell you what to talk about. That would be exceeding my authority.
I'm willing to, but if he's not willing to, then I cannot talk. Then you decide.
Okay.
I am willing to talk about position, but it'll be the same thing, but just in a very narrow 3-4 minutes. 1, 2, 3, 4, that's it. It
right.
won't be too long, but I'll be doing the same thing, I hope, in my testimony to you also. So my question is, what is the point of me and him talking about 1, 2, 3, 4.
Got it.
Which
okay.
I'll be doing with you anyway, and he'll be listening.
So, Mr. Pauly, do you agree that there really doesn't seem to be a point in having an independent, separate discussion between you two if he's
yes,
going
I
to
agree.
Just reiterate?
I don't feel it would be my place to disqualify the validity of the tow and
right.
drop and pull back the city's stance.
Okay.
It was a valid tow.
I mean, I like to learn about things. Outcome is not important. Learning is what I am all about. I am not clearly understanding. You are the judge. He doesn't have the authority to make any resolution, any agreement. So why are you offering us that we should talk?
Well, I don't know. That's something that's pretty standard. I don't know the full extent of his authority, but he's clarified it now. That in reality, he's limited in his authority, so he really, any discussion he would have with you, it sounds like, really, it's not going
Good.
To resolve the matter that we're here for. Does that make sense?
Good. So, promise, last question. In your experience and other people sitting on this chair, has there been situation where without your final decision, this person could say, okay, I agree with you, tow was invalid? Could he do that? And not him, anybody in the history of Portland tow hearings.
Well, anyone could do that. And even if he were to tell me I want that he doesn't think that the tow was justified by the law, I could say, well, actually, I think I disagree with you.
Okay, now I got it. So you're the boss.
You're
the boss.
Okay.
I got it.
Thanks for helping me walk through that.
I understood.
Okay, so Mr. Pauly, are you ready to proceed with your testimony?
I am. So, again, my name is...
Wait, let me swear you in.
Sure.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the evidence you will give shall be the truth? Yes or no?
I do, yes.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Again, my name's Aaron Pauly. I'm a lead parking enforcement officer for the city of Portland. I guess I don't want to reiterate everything that I've read or go back over everything that was written, but the points that I think are important to kind of punctuate. When the vehicle first came to my attention, speaking with other parking enforcement supervisors, decided that we were really going to hold off on towing the vehicle and wanted to make an effort to contact the vehicle owner so that we could have a remedy to the situation and not have to go down the further enforcement. So that's why I provided the previous citations, just as a to show that we had initiated a contact, I guess. So we did have one of our office staff call and leave messages the weekend before the tow, and we did not receive any response or any callbacks. On the Monday that the vehicle was first sighted in that 30-minute zone, when the vehicle was eligible for tow again, I again asked the officer to hold off on the tow, and that was when I reached out to our parking permit center for help in contacting the citizen and trying to get the vehicle, get the issue resolved without having to tow it. And then through the correspondence, it sounded like contact was made and that there was an understanding over the phone call. And again, we understanding that there could be medical issues, that we wanted to give time for the vehicle to be addressed and for that those violations to be corrected. So we left it for 3 days before we finally made the decision to go ahead and finish enforcing through the procedure and protocol that we would have for overtime, excessive overtime in a 30-minute zone. The issues with the disabled permit and the improper resident permits that we first went through were just very suspicious, and really tried to give the benefit of the doubt and assume that he was trying to do the correct and follow the rules that are given with the permits. But after multiple reaching out and trying to contact and give clear warning, we just didn't feel like there was anything else we could do. And the vehicle was in a 30-minute space with no payment, with no valid permit, disabled placard permit, in the same location, the same valve stems from Monday the 15th through Thursday the 18th at 5:30 when it was towed.
Anything further at this point?
I guess not. That,
And I think it would be good for you to summarize in your own words what was the legal basis or the law that you applied warranting the tow.
Sure. The vehicle was parked in a 30-minute metered pay-to-park space. That space needs to be vacated after 30 minutes. It needs to have a payment, first of all, and then be vacated after 30 minutes between the hours of 9 a.m. and 7 p.m. It must leave the block face for up to 3 hours after it's been there for 30 minutes before it can return again. So the vehicle was parked without payment. Initially, it was cited. It was then cited for an additional overtime a couple hours later, and then for the third time, more than 30 minutes again after that, and the officer was going to tow it at that time, and that's when I asked the officer, let me try to reach out again and see if we can.
What about the display of the disabled permit on the day that the vehicle was towed?
On the day that the vehicle was towed, the disabled permit hanging, or there was no disabled placard present. There was a photocopy of a disabled placard, and there was a valid, not by itself without the placard, I should say not valid, there was a current resident disabled parking permit on the dash, but it did not have the placard present that would make that permit a valid permit.
No, there was no valid placard.
Correct.
Present to make the disabled parking permit valid.
Is correct. Correct.
Okay, those are the questions I have for you at this time. Mr. Mahindra, do you have any questions for Mr. Pauly?
Yeah, which I brought up earlier also, that I may willingly accept it because of my health reason, I had not gone out for two, three weeks.
So just, keep your questions short.
Yeah, my question is that he mentioned that the parking, I don't understand the system, I'm from LA. If he said that parking enforcement contacted me, other than putting the citation, can I ask him that?
Yeah.
Is that what he meant? I don't remember any contact or effort by the enforcement. Now, if enforcement is same as the permit, then yes, it was the parking permit department, a lady by the name Nicole, contacted me. So if it is the one and the same thing, then he's correct.
So maybe could you just ask him in a question to clarify?
Yeah, my question is, so Mr. Pauly, you mentioned that reaching out and warning, you mean by reaching out, not by telephone, not by email, not by letter, simply issuing the citation and putting on the dashboard. There was no communication with me from the parking enforcement period to this date of any kind.
Formal question.
So the question is that when he says that after reaching out with the citizen, I don't have any contact, any proof of. So what do you mean by parking enforcement reaching out? There was no parking enforcement reaching out other than putting the citation on the windshield, which I never saw for weeks.
Okay. I think I understand.
Go ahead,
the
please
question.
Clarify.
So,
right?
Yeah, when in the original parking space, not the space that you were towed from, but
right.
In the original space when you were first warned.
Wait, you don't need to just let him answer.
We were able to take photographs of your dash, and one of the papers on your dash had your name and phone number on it. And we took that information, and this would have been on Wednesday, the 10th of October.
Very good.
We had one of our office staff, and I didn't see her make the phone call, but she confirmed that she tried to call and left a message for you to contact us again. I don't know how many times she tried to call. I do know that I tried to call you at that same phone number one time on Monday. I wasn't able to get through, and then I talked to Nicole immediately after that, and that was when she was able to get a hold of you and contact you.
And who's Nicole with?
And Nicole is an employee of PBOT who works in the permit center with area parking permits specifically.
Thank you. Next question.
No, I guess that was the only question. That they, according to him, his office and he himself tried to contact me on the telephone, but he did not leave a voicemail, but the other lady did. but I never checked it.
Okay, so hold off, because I want you to tell me that after I place you under oath and you tell me your whole case, okay? So just one moment, we're wrapping up his testimony.
Okay, good.
Do you have any other questions for him?
No, I don't have any more questions.
Okay. So I think to clarify, Mr. Pauley, my last question is a photocopy of a disabled placard, unexpired disabled placard, going to be sufficient for?
No, it's not.
Parking enforcement's
purposes? It's not sufficient. And in some cases, it could actually be a violation on of itself, because it could qualify potentially as a misuse of a disabled placard. Disabled placards are taken very seriously. You need to have the physical placard present. You cannot photocopy it and distribute photocopies or.
So if someone has an actual disabled vehicle or person placard, mm-hmm. then what is the purpose of the disabled resident parking permit? That's a little bit unclear to me.
So the disabled resident parking permit program was designed for people who live within the metered and restricted parking areas of Portland and may qualify for lower income assistance. They can, it's a program where they can get subsidized parking, basically. So if they qualify, they can be issued a parking pass that would allow them to park in those spaces without payment, but they must have accompanying it the placard that it's issued to, because those permits are issued specifically to a person, and that person is, rather than putting that person's name and information on the permit, they put their placard number, because a placard is only specifically issued to one individual person also.
Okay, so it functions, say, like a Zone M permit, but specific to the disabled person placard.
To the placard, correct. Okay. Which it could be in a different vehicle. You could move your placard to a different vehicle, and the permit could go with it. It's not assigned to a specific vehicle, only to the specific placard.
Okay. Okay. Mr. Mahindru, please raise your right hand and I'll swear you in. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the evidence you will give shall be the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. Go ahead.
I want to make sure that the court does have the testimony and attachment of all the placards and permit, right? 16 pages, which I faxed today?
Yes.
We have, good. I have only two or three points, number one.
Oh, wait, and I apologize. I did flag something here in your 16-page document.
I'm sorry, you did receive it, you said?
I did receive it, and I noted something that I want to ask you about.
Okay, go ahead.
You had said, I am assuming the hearings office can access permit issued and DMV records because you're presently too weak to be able to provide all records. I don't have access to the permit, any documents outside of the documents that were printed and given to everybody.
Right. Okay.
So if you want me to look at DMV records, if they haven't been given to me already, I don't have them. Okay?
They have not given to you already. Does it mean, is it automatic process that they give you something?
No, not in the DMV. We're not connected with the DMV, so I don't have access to those records.
I do not know.
Okay.
So the point I wanted to mention was only two or three things, and I will start with where my fault is. My fault is that I never knew that next to my subsidized housing building, there the 30 minutes limit. That absolutely I did not know that. So I am at fault, not knowing that there is a 30-minute limit on the street where my car was stored. That is my fault, not knowing. I never knew that. So that is a new thing for me, number one. Number two, that as far as the not having the original state-issued, DMV-issued placard, I have mentioned and I have attached in my attachment that there was one time definitely my disabled permit was stolen. Second time my disabled permit was lost. And so DMV at two different times in last year and a half, as recent as on 22nd of this month, I mean October 22nd, when I was able to have my unofficial caregiver take me to DMV to get me a new valid placard. So I did not have the placard the original placard in my possession. So I had the copy, which I thought is the next best thing I can do. So that's item number, which I think in my favor. Number two, in one of the citation out of 8 or 10, in one of the citation I have pointed out, it is mentioned that the placard, state placard number, does not match with the disabled resident permit. One is the placard, one is permit. So that is simply justified or explainable, as I mentioned, that there were three different placard. So when the placard is lost, the permit would have the old placard, not the new one. And the copy which was put in, because there was no original, was stolen or lost, so there would be no matching of the placard on the permit. It was mentioned in one of the citation, if you want me to point out.
I saw that.
You saw that. So that was item one. So I guess in summary, all I can say, one fault I have is not knowing that next to my building there was a limit of 30 minutes. First time when I parked the car, not having any permit, because I had not received even the disability permit, and I did not even have the state permit. When I parked the car the first time, according to on the October 10th, I did the best I could do. I put four different things which are in the exhibit. I put the expired one, which is the 2018 June, number one. I put a copy of the application that I have applied for the renewal. That application from the permit was there. Number three, I put the stamped envelope that I mailed it to the thing, three thing. And fourth thing, Judge, you wouldn't know, that which I mentioned, but I want to highlight. By mistake, when I first time was issued the disabled permit, by mistake, in error, the permit people usually give us the permit 1 year at a time. But in 2017, they had, by mistake, in error, they had given me a permit which is valid until 2020. And they told me that you should not use it, and I never did use it. Except in this case, when I parked the car at the location one, I did in good faith put four things. Expired permit, and I repeat, permit meaning disabled permit. Placard means DMV. I put the expired June 2018. I put the 2020 placard. I put the renewal application. I put the envelope with the stamp at the dashboard, and I put the copy of the DMV placard. Now, there nothing else I could have done. The best I could have done, I tried to do that on the location one. After that, I got a bunch of citation because of my health. I did not go out for days and weeks. When I went there, I saw all the citation. I was too sick to do anything about it. I said, let it go. Then I got, which is very sweet, of the parking enforcement and the permit, working in, as Mr. Pauly said, they did their best. Not the enforcement, but they contacted the permit people, Nicole, that find out what is going on. So Nicole, the permit people, explained it to me that what is going on. I explained to her exactly what I did. The best I could ever do was put four different things, because anything out of that was out of my control. I did not have the placard. I did not have the permit. I had the renewal. I had the envelope. I had in error 2020. 2020 expiration. I put the best. I explained to Nicole. Two last point. So Nicole says, we have mailed you the correct one. You put the correct one now. And at the same time, I moved the car from one location to another location, not knowing the 30 minutes, I'm admitting it already. I moved it to the next location, and I did the best thing I could do again. I put now the valid permit, and I do not have the original placard, so the best thing I could do was the copy, but I removed the application, I removed the envelope, because that is a moot point now. I put the valid permit, copy of the DMV placard, which I did not have the original, which I got it only after the towing, and I didn't got the right from my caregiver on 22nd. That's what I meant by DMV, that I speak nothing but the truth. On 22nd, I got the correct placard, and a few days prior to that, I put in the correct valid permit, so I had no reason to really look at, I had no reason to really, in my sick condition with heart failing, to go look at it. I thought, Nicole says, don't worry about it. I would have parking enforcement contact you. That is where we went wrong. Nicole says, now you have done everything correct. You have put the valid permit, but in photocopy of the valid placard, nothing else I could do. I didn't have the original until a week ago. So that was the best I could do, valid permit, photocopy of the placard, two things, and I made it very clear to Nicole that I'm very weak. Doctor, they said I could die in the parking lot, my heart is failing, I'm not asking for pity or compassion, I'm mentioning the truth. So now I thought that I have the valid placard, photocopy, valid permit, photocopy of the placard, plus I have a conversation and assurance from the permit division. I said I'm too weak to really do any of this thing on those four or five citations on the previous location. So please, I'm too weak to handle it. She said, just hold on to it. I will have parking enforcement, which is different than the permit. Enforcement contact you. And that never happened. That never happened. What Mr. Pauly said, I am fully willing to believe what he said, that on the location one, when he saw the telephone number on the renewal application of the permit, I fully believe him, his staff and himself may have called, left a message, which I didn't get, by the way, 10th. But after Nicole comforted me in saying, you just take care of your health, we have given you the permit, you have put the permit correctly, we will contact the enforcement to give you a call. And I never received any call. Not that even I got any call from parking enforcement second time. First time I'm admitting it, that I didn't get it, but I accept that they did it. But second time, I didn't even know that I have citation. I thought I am in compliance with the valid permit, not knowing the 30-minute limit. I didn't know that. I thought I'm next to my building. So in my impression, I had the correct permit. I had a 40 copy of the placard. That is the best I could do, number two. Number three. Assurance from Nicole out of compassion, they don't take any further action, enforcement will contact you. That never did happen. Instead, 3-4 citations more came, and my car got towed.
Wait, so let me clarify. Nicole assured you that you would not receive any other citations or parking issues, or what did she assure you of?
In the phone call, she told me, I mean, very first phone, she initiated the phone call. I just didn't do anything from location and kept getting citation, not knowing I'm getting it. Once I noticed that, she had contacted me that what is going on from location one. So I explained it to her. She said, the problem is that you have the expired permit, and I again repeat, permit meaning disabled permit, placard means state issued permit. So Nicole assured me, first, two things. One conversation, Nicole assured me that I have mailed you the permit and you just put that at the dashboard, and then don't worry about, of course, she didn't cancel it, no. She said, I don't pay any stress because of the citation, she will have the parking enforcement contact you. That did not happen, which happened in last week or so. nobody contacted me enforcement. Now, one more thing happened. There was a voicemail from Nicole, not from enforcement. There was a voicemail from Nicole which said that, Andy, I know the enforcement sent me a picture and everything looks good. Your permit is on the dashboard. It is a little bit on the side, bring it more visible in the center of the dashboard. This was the voicemail, no conversation. And at the same time, that Andy, the placard is a photocopy and that is not valid. So I'm answering your question, no. In the voicemail, she said, Andy, you might still get citation. But then again, I was totally helpless up until a week ago. I did not have a original placard in my possession until the 22nd of October, which was much later than the, so there was nothing best I could have done. I did the best I could have done, except for I should have known the 30-minute limit, which I never knew. Residence Street.
Were there any, actually, let me back up. So with the 30-minute restriction, it does look like in some of these photographs that there was a sign there that said.
Like I said, I never knew that. I never noticed that.
But you did not notice
it. I live in the disabled resident subsidized housing. I just simply assumed. I'm new from LA. I don't know anything about the parking problems here. So I never knew that there's such a thing, 30 minutes next to my building. I just thought that once you have a permit, first it was a expired permit with all the application renewal. Second time it was a valid permit, valid street, minus the 30 minutes I did not, because I was too sick moving from one location to another. Having
right.
a stress of four citation and warning from location one. I just wanted to put the permit, park it, and go to bed and call my doctor. That was my only thing on the mind.
So
hoping that nothing is going to go wrong now.
Are these pictures correct, though, when they show the vehicle, you parked the vehicle next to a sign?
I didn't even look at the picture, and I have no reason not to believe, because I trust 100%.
Okay, it's towards
no
the
reason.
End? Towards the very
end? I have not looked at it, so please help me if you
yeah,
want to.
Yeah, it says Exhibit 32 on a sticker on the lower right-hand corner.
Please, now you have to help me. Okay, Exhibit 32 on the second one before last. Yeah, I'm looking at it.
And then it looks like your car that's in the left
sure.
photo.
Sure.
And then the right photo looks like a close up of that those
sure.
signs and
sure.
it says pay to park and
right.
then it looks like 30-minute limit.
Yeah, like I said before, I'm openly admitted my made my statement with the opening admission of it. I never knew that subsidized disabled people's building would have a 30-minute limit because I never did ever park there. I never did ever see that. I never did park anywhere on the north, other side, location one. So I'm openly admitting it.
Okay.
30 minutes, I never knew it. I never saw it. I thought that now there's a valid permit. The best I can do is the photocopy. I thought maybe they don't like the photocopy.
Got it. Okay. I'm sorry to cut you off, Mr.
No,
Mahindru, but I heard your testimony, and
yeah.
I want to give Mr. Pauly
sure.
a chance to ask you
sure.
questions
well,
if
I
he has
my,
any.
I admit my fault, and I admit my explanation the best. I did the best I could do. Fault I have is not knowing 30 minutes.
Got it.
Other than that, I did the best I could do with my possession, what I had.
Okay.
There was no ill intention of any kind.
So, Mr. Pauly, do you have any questions?
The one question that I keep coming to in my mind is, how did you have a photocopy prepared of your permit before you
decal
lost it?
Decal or a permit?
Your placard.
Placard.
Your placard. How did you have a photocopy, both sides, made of your placard prior to losing it? And why would you have a photocopy up and not
yeah.
the real placard?
Yeah.
That's just the thought that
the
comes to my
the
mind.
The answer is very simple, because if you look at the application when we apply for the permit, mm-hmm. in the permit they require the photocopy of it, number one. And otherwise also, I always like
the
to have...
The placard, the DMV placard?
When we apply for the permit every year, they want us to give them a copy of the placard. DMV placard. That is how they give us every year the permit. So the answer to your question is, as a regular practice also, I like to make extra copy of everything to keep it in my safe drawer. So that is what I had. So I said, that is part of the question. And I'll give you another part of the question also, I think, which is a new fact for the judge to know. So that is one thing, that I always keep photocopy of everything in my special drawer, as well as that even before I lost it, as you saw the difference between one permit. If you look at my three different permit, they have different placards. I don't know if you saw that or
yes,
not.
Yes, I did.
But the permit, which is the disabled permit versus the placard, the disabled permit, as you notice, have a different placard number because I've gone to DMV three different times, one originally moving from California. That was original, that was stolen. Then I got the second one, which will be second number. Then the third one,
right,
which I just got last week.
Yeah, you described why the numbers don't match
right,
up.
But let's have the answer. I like to be totally truthful and nothing but the complete truth, which has not been brought out, which will comfort him, because I'm not 100% sure in my memory now when I lost it between things. But one new fact, which we didn't bring it up, it may not be valid, but it will clarify your situation. What happened was that in my spiritual life, somebody offered me another car just 2-3 weeks ago. It's not even registered in my name yet. He offered me a free car other than this vehicle in question. So when he gave me that car, when he gave me this car, my intention was to give this one, the old car, which is in question, donate it to another needy person, pay it forward. So now since I have two cars, that is where the issue came, that I have only one parking slot in my building, and I am using, not lost yet, but the valid blue permit I'm using in my original vehicle. You understand that? The second vehicle, which I'm going to give it to charity to some other needy person,
okay,
I made a copy of that. So that is a little mix up of when I lost.
Sure. So I just want to point out for you, just so you are aware, that is a $430 citation. Just a
to make a copy.
If you were misusing a placard, you said you were using one single placard for two vehicles in two different spaces. We didn't cite you for that, and I just want you to
know. No, but I was not really using it for that. I was just trying to assist.
Yeah. And that's not beyond my purview today. Right. We're just talking about the tow. That might be something you want to talk about with a judge when you talk about the citations, if you decide to appeal them. Okay. Here's my question, and I'm going to clarify it with Mr. Pauly. Mr. Pauly, if there were not any of these issues with the placard and the copying and the expired permit, if the vehicle had a current placard which matched the current area resident disabled resident permit parking slip, would you still have towed the vehicle that day for being parked in violation of the 30-minute restriction?
No, it would not have been in violation of that restriction. Because with a valid placard and a valid permit, it would be allowed in any space, I think it's 30 minutes or greater.
No, that's not true. Even though it's against me, I like to, the man, once, my,
oh,
my understanding
go ahead.
Is,
go
my
ahead.
Judge, my understanding is, and I may be wrong, a placard would say that. I have a copy here, we can look it up. But no, my understanding is, I openly admitting it, I didn't know about 30 minutes. But my understanding is, even with the placard, not placard, even with the permit, it should not be used in anything less than 1 hour.
So the rule says, in any metered space with a designated time limit of less than 1 hour,
right,
a person must pay for the time parked,
right,
or pay the maximum meter limit.
Very correct.
And the vehicle may remain in that space for up to the maximum meter time limit. So if we've got a 30-minute space, when I read that law, it says that he could have only parked there for up to 30 minutes, even with all the correct decals.
Exactly. When they put the meters in Upper Northwest, that neighborhood is a very different kind of animal. A lot of those spaces were time zones before they were metered spaces. And when you read the Title 16 rules for time zones and disabled permits, in a 30-minute time zone or greater, they are allowed to stay all day if they have a valid permit. So there you have, I guess.
I have that for a wheelchair user, disabled person placard, that they, in any area parking permit program that they can park in a time zone in without any fee and up to any time, but not for the non-wheelchair.
Right.
Correct. They still have to have a payment. But in, I'm talking about outside of the payment, the metered APP, the APPs or the meters in just normal time zones, a disabled placard can stay longer than the 30 minutes. So again, this is like the letter of the law versus the spirit of the law, I guess. We normally would not, I don't think that most officers would enforce that 30 minute. They would honor the disabled permit and the with the valid resident permit.
Will I get a chance to ask a question or no? I'll make a comment. Will I get a chance or no?
Is it specifically talking about my question?
This issue of the time. I openly admitted I didn't know that. But I wanted to just mention only one point. I was new from Los Angeles. So when I was given the kindness to get the permit, at that time, not Nicole, somebody else, the supervisor, they said that what was going on was in those building people would leave the car for days. So that is why they had put a 4-hour limit. So judge, on one street of my building, Northrop, it is a 4-hour limit. And the other side where my parking lot is, I simply assumed would be the same thing what is on the other side of the street, which is the lesser of a busy street. So I thought that everywhere it's a 4-hour limit, and with the permit, I never noted the 30-minute thing. So so that was my comment. My question is again, so if I hear Mr. Pauly correctly, that even though they are allowed to tow the car with 30 minutes and cite it, but if I had the correct DMV, not a photocopy, it would have not been towed or not been cited. So again, so the only issue is that instead of having the blue original DMV placard, I had the copy. That is the reason it happened. So now my point is that when I don't even have it, originally lost or stolen two different times, and the proof is that I got the current one on DMV on 22nd, where is my fault? How can I create something?
Okay, so Mr. Pauly, this is going to be the last question, Mr. Pauly, and it's going to be a response. I want to ask you for your response to Mr. Mahindra's point. He says he tried his best with the things that he had, the documents he had, to display that copy, and since he had it was stolen and it was subsequently lost, does that affect your, will it affect your, if you were looking back, would it affect your decision?
No.
Why not?
We really went bend over backwards with this to try to give him a lot of opportunity to correct the situations. If it had been just a normal enforcement, his vehicle would have been towed a week earlier from the APP space when he was displaying two expired permits and a photocopy.
Okay.
And he did say he was using the permits in two vehicles, the same permit in two vehicles.
Okay, so let's just limit it to what we've got here, why the vehicle was towed. Is there anything else that you would like to add, Mr. Mahindra, before I give you my decision about something you have not told me already?
I see two different versions of Mr. Pauly's statement on one hand, or two comments. On one hand, he is saying that if it was the original blue DMV placard, it would have not been towed. On your questioning, you ask him that knowing what you know now, that I did the best I could do, I couldn't create the blue permit out of the air, would you still have towed it? So he is contradicting himself. On one hand, he's saying he would have not towed if there was a blue permit, and now he said, knowing all what I have, that I am helpless. I did the best I could. Nobody else could do anything better than that. Now he said he could have towed it anyway. So there seemed to be contradiction number one. The second thing, but of course, if you want to comment, fine. The second point I wanted to mention was, and I slipped my mind now. So I would, like I said, I would just, oh yeah, The second point, which he's absolutely correct, and there are situations in life where both the parties can be correct and still the thing happen. He's very correct when he's saying that he bent over backward to accommodate the situation, otherwise he would have been towed from location one. He's absolutely correct, with an exception that he's very correct, but I'm also very correct that I was 78, and it's all very, anything I say can be verified with my manager, with my doctor. I was in the apartment for 78 days when I could not come out of the apartment or in bed. So even though he's very correct that he's bending over backward, leaving the citation and warning on location one, but if I'm not able to even breathe to go out for 78 days, except for the food, not even checking the mail, I am also correct that even though he was bending over backward, leaving the citation, I had absolutely no knowledge that there are citations. I have no contact from parking enforcement up until a week ago from the Nicole. So that's all I can say. I did the best I could under the medical condition, under the documents I had, and on top of it, a little bit of comfort from Nicole in the live conversation that you take care of your health. We will have parking enforcement contact you, which I never did, but at the same time, full truth is, second time Nicole did leave a voicemail for the second location that I tried to put the blue one, which I did not have.
And that was before your vehicle was towed, right? She left you that voicemail? You listened to it?
That is very correct.
So after she left you that second voicemail, why not go out and move the car?
I want to be very truthful. I got it yesterday.
I mean, you just got the voicemail yesterday?
Yeah, she left the voicemail before the tow. I got the voicemail after the tow.
Okay. Thanks for your honesty. All right. You said you wanted to give feedback, and then I'm going to close the testimony.
I just wanted to clarify, I'm not contradicting myself. If a vehicle has a valid permit and is using that permit correctly, of course we're not going to cite the vehicle in a legitimate space and tow it. However, when you have a photocopy or a disabled resident permit is not accompanied by the placard that it's assigned to, those do not exist. As far as we are concerned in enforcing, those permits are not there. You have to have all of the parts, and they have to be presented in a way that's visually
Very correct. But
aware.
It
so,
is not really
so
my
that's where it's not a contradiction. It's a either you've got the right stuff and you're in the right space, or you don't. And we are, unfortunately, our job is to sometimes give people bad news and tickets.
No, it's not a bad news. I'm willing to accept any decision. My point is, please look at the situation that he's requiring that my placard
right, okay.
must match.
Yeah.
It cannot match.
Right.
Because
Mr. Mahinder, I completely, I understand. So okay. Let me deliver my decision. Are you, is there any,
no?
I've given you guys both, I believe, ample opportunity to present your cases. And
sure.
Now I think it's important for me to get this decision out for both of you. So as I mentioned in my opening remarks, the city code and the specific words of the city code are very important for me to implement in this case. The citations that you received, Mr. Mahindru, even though I'm not determining whether they're valid, I do look at them to see what the allegations are as the basis for towing. And essentially, what we've got here is that we've got a couple of provisions of code that say, well, you've got to pay the parking meter, or you have to have a permit, and if you're disabled, you have to have an official state-issued disabled person registration plate, placard, permit, or decal. And that affords you certain liberties if you have that decal or permit to park in excess of the visitor time limit, say, in the Zone M area, which is where they cited you. So the important part that I have to really focus on is that the display of the placard, the disabled placard, and the disabled resident permit, they become operative only under certain circumstances if they're displayed correctly. So obviously the placard can't be on the floor. I mean, if someone can't see it, they can't know that you're using the placard lawfully. There's also the specific part. The question is whether or not the photocopy of your placard, whether or not that is sufficient to, whether or not parking enforcement interpreted the validity of your placard correctly under the law. And with the law stating that you have to display an official state-issued disabled person registration placard or plate or decal, the law says that the law compels me to find that the city did interpret the law correctly insofar as your copy of the placard wasn't sufficient. Now, the question becomes, well, what about your efforts? And what about the fact that you unfortunately did not have possession of an actual placard? Well, I've got to look to law about that too. And when I look at the way that the law is written, there is no provision that gives me the ability to consider the circumstances under which you do not lawfully possess the original copy. So in that way, without the law giving me words that enable me to take into consideration the fact that you did not have an official copy because it was stolen and it was lost and you were ill and could not get one, I cannot use those factors to say that the tow is invalid. So for that reason, I am going to find that the city did follow the correct laws and rules when they ordered the tow. I am very sorry to have to deliver this news, and I do understand the circumstances that have contributed. Unfortunately, the way that I've interpreted the law, and it seems like you've looked at it, I don't have the city council has not given me the ability to consider those factors when I look at the review the tow. So, Mr. Mahindru, I apologize. I am going to have to find that the vehicle tow is valid and that it will remain storage until you're able to get it out of storage. So, I know that that's not the solution you seek. There are some city resources that I could refer you to, specifically the ombudsman. There is a brochure on the way out that you could pick up. It's right on that table, the ombudsman.
Okay.
They help address complaints about city processes, and I tell people that that is a good resource if there's a complaint about my decision because I could have gotten it wrong, or a complaint about how the law is written, all of it. Anything that you believe I was not done correctly, that's something that they have the ability, that the ombudsman has the ability to look into. So I know that doesn't provide you with the recourse you want now, but I do want to suggest that you check that out because you have a unique situation, and with everything that's going on, perhaps it would be a ripe scenario for the ombudsman to take up your case. So reach out to them if you would like to.
What does it mean to take up the case, meaning?
You can ask them to take up your case and they will investigate to see
this
how.
Case with all these documents?
Yeah, see how you're.
An appeal? Is it like an appeal?
No, it's separate. To challenge my decision, you have to file a document with the Multnomah County Circuit Court. It's called a writ of review.
What is it called? A writ of review.
Yeah. That's the direct mechanism to appeal my decision. However, for complaints in general about. City employees, how decisions were made, any policies or laws. The ombudsman makes policy recommendations and can tell bureaus, hey, you need to change this, or tell me, the hearings office, hey, you may not have done that right. So that's just an alternative avenue outside of the appeal process that I think might be useful if you decide to engage that.
But there would be a general kind of thing, not specific to a case. Can they open this case again? The ombudsman?
No, they're not going to decide whether or not the tow is valid.
Right.
They might have the authority to say that I made the wrong decision and in the future or whatever.
In the future, but not for this case.
I don't know specifically what their authority is limited to, so that would be a good question for them.
Okay, very good.
Okay.
I can take a look at it.
Thank you very much, and I do wish you better health and luck,
no
Mr. Mahindru.
Everything is beautiful. Life
take care,
is
Mr. Polly. The hearing is now closed.
We learned something.